When Adam sinned, God didn't ask him, "Hey, why did you do that?" You know, that's how we are when our children do something wrong. "Hey, why did you do that? I told you so many times not to do it." That's not how God dealt with it. He mentioned that later. He punished Adam later, but before he punished Adam, he said, "Okay, you created a problem, let's fix it." So, I find that our human nature is when somebody does something wrong, whether in an office or our children at home, we immediately yell at them or say, "I told you so many times not to do it," or "Why did you do it?" What I learned from God is, let's fix it now. "Okay, you made a mess, never mind, let's fix it. Then I'll tell you how to deal with it." So, he first, it's very interesting. Turn with me to Genesis 3. God asked Adam, "Did you eat from the tree?" He blamed his wife. "She gave it to me." Then God asked the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, The snake did it. You know, you see something there. The unwillingness to take a blame and responsibility for our failure. That's the first thing you can learn in the Garden of Eden. An unwillingness to take responsibility for our sin and our failure. And you find that in the entire human race today. We're so reluctant to say, "Yeah, that was my fault." Put the blame on somebody else. Adam put the blame on his wife. The wife put the blame on the serpent. And what did God do? "Okay, you put the blame on the serpent. Let me deal with the serpent." So God punished the serpent first. Did you know that God punished the serpent before he punished even Adam? There's something we can learn from there. And God told the serpent, Genesis 3, 16, "The seed of this woman will crush your..." Verse 15, sorry, the last part. "Will crush you on your head." And that's referring to Jesus Christ defeating Satan, crushing Satan's head on the cross. So what do I learn from that? And afterwards he said, "Okay, now I'm going to punish you, Adam and Eve. You're going to go out of the garden." So what I learned from that is, I mean, in dealing with children, they messed up something. Okay, let me fix it. I fix that, and then I say to them, "Listen, this is not the way to do it. I had warned you not to do it like that, but I say that after I fixed it." But that's not our human nature. So we can learn something from God there. You find that that is how God, even when he finds something wrong in somebody, he appreciates the good that he can see. I'll give you another example. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. The Lord wants to give a message to a particular church. The church in Ephesus. Revelation 2, verse 2. Now, just listen to this and see how it is. The Lord says to this church in Revelation 2, verse 2, "I know your deeds, I know your toil, I know your perseverance. You don't endure evil men. You put to the test all those who call themselves apostles, and you find they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance. You have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary." And you say, "Wow, what a church this is. The Lord is so happy with it." But he says, "Hang on, but I've got something against you. You have left your first love. And this is so serious that if you don't repent, I will de-recognize you as a church. I'll remove the lampstand. This is such a serious sin." But the Lord doesn't mention the sin first. He appreciates the good that he can see before he corrects the sin. This is God's way. And there's something all of us can learn from it. In our dealings with others, we are so quick to see the fault, even in our children. You know, sometimes a word of encouragement can help your children much more than a word of correction. I'm not saying we shouldn't correct, we must correct. But I find, generally speaking, we are very slow to encourage others and to say something good. We're so quick to say something bad, which is some evil there's there, we see it. I remember a story I heard of a teacher who, standing before the classroom students, the teacher took a white sheet, a big white board of paper, a white cardboard with paper with one small black dot in a corner. I had to look carefully to see the black dot. And he told the students, all of you write what you can see. And all the smart students looked carefully and said, everyone wrote, I can see a black dot in the corner. And the teacher got all the answers and said, all of you wrote, I see a black dot in the corner. None of you wrote, I see a big white board. Why is that? You only saw the black dot? Then he said, that is our human nature. Even though there's a big white board here, you don't see it. You only see that little black dot because our eyes are like that, focused on something we can pick out. And you find some people are so evil that when you say, supposing you say, you know, so-and-so is a good brother and he's got this, the other will say, but let me also tell you something else about him. Human nature is like that. Yeah, there's a lot of white there, but you know, there's a black dot in his life. Why is it like that? That doesn't tell us anything about that man, but it tells us a lot about you. And those are people who can never see any good in others. And that tells us something about their own nature. They are either jealous of that person. Usually it's jealousy. I'm jealous that that person is so good compared to me. Or he did a better job than I could do. And that disturbs me. I've seen this so much, even in the church, among Christians. It shows that even after so many years of being a believer, they've got zero of God's nature. They've got the same old Adam's nature that's ready to find fault. Something here, something there. See, this is whenever the Lord, for example, here's another church with which he wants to find fault. Just read this, not just one example. Verse 12, Revelation 2:12. To the leader of the church in Sardis, in Pergamos, say this. Verse 13, I know where you dwell. Satan's throne is there. So what? You have held fast my word, my name, and you did not deny my faith. Even in the days when the great servant of mine called Antipas was there, my witness, whom Satan killed. But I have a few things against you. He doesn't start with, hey, I've got a few things against you. He says, there's some good things I can see in you. So, I find that the Lord is, let's go to another example. Verse 18, to the church in Thyatira write, I know your deeds. Verse 19, I know your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance, your deeds of late are greater than at the beginning. You say, boy, this must be a wonderful church. No, but I've got something against you. Do you see this pattern? Always beginning with a word of appreciation and then going to correction. He doesn't shut his eyes and say, there's nothing wrong with you. No, that would be a lie. But he always begins with appreciation. In Adam's case, he begins with saying, let's fix this problem now, then I'll tell you how to deal with you. Now, when a person acquires that nature, a servant of God like Paul, when he acquires that nature, they also become like that. See, I'll show you. Can you all tell me, among all the churches that
Paul wrote letters to, which was the worst?
Which one?
Corinthian church was the worst, right? If you read all the letters that what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, they had so many problems. You know what all problems they had? They were taking each other to court. A man was committing sin with his father's second wife, and they were fighting with each other, and all types of problems. Now, how does Paul write to this church in Corinth? Just listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, which have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling, and grace to you, verse 3, and peace. I thank God, verse 4, every time concerning you, for the grace of God which is given you in Christ Jesus. In everything, you were enriched in Him. You got so much ability to speak good messages. You got so much knowledge of the Word of God. And the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. People know you're Christians. And you're not lacking in any spiritual gift. You're waiting eagerly for the return of Jesus Christ. And when He comes, He will confirm you in the end, blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You read all that and you say, this must be one of the best churches. Right? If you were writing to Corinth, would you write like that? I don't think so. He says, but, he doesn't shut his eyes to the reality. But I exhort you, brethren, you must learn to agree with each other. There shouldn't be divisions among you, verse 10. For I've been informed that there are so many quarrels among you, verse 11. Where did Paul learn that from? From Jesus. The question is, have we learned it? Have we learned to see something good even in those people who are very bad? Have we learned to see it in our children? Have we learned to encourage? My guess is that the average parent corrects the child 10 times more than they encourage them. And that's the reason we think our children are so evil and stubborn, and yeah, they've got a lot of weaknesses, but I think a lot more will be accomplished by encouragement also. Because when they do something good, you've got to really appreciate it.